dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host, celebrating today on post-election November 3rd, what happened last night, what it means for America. We'll be talking about that with our terrific lineup of guests today, the experts in so many different fields, people whose contribution to the war of ideas is truly exceptional. And we're confident you'll find that be the case here today at Secure Freedom Radio. We're going to start with Peter Schweitzer in segment two. What will the new Congress do to the defense budget? Despite the fact that these conservatives have been elected, will they find themselves tempted, in fact, irresistibly tempted, to take the meat axe against government spending to the national security portfolio as well? We'll get Peter's thoughts on that, and a surprise on the Massachusetts ballot. You'll find this absolutely astounding. Roger Robinson is up in segment three. Roger is, of course, a former chairman of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Commission, an organization that has done superb work providing independent assessments of whither communist China. We'll be talking about its rise and the strategic implications of that for our interests and our allies and for us. And not least, a matter that Roger Robinson has been very concerned about for a long time, as have I, namely our dependency in so many different areas on China. We've been talking most recently about rare earth minerals. We'll get a sense from him as to what the implications are, particularly from a national security perspective, of that folly, that dependency on the most unreliable of trading partners. And then finally, Jim Hansen in segment four, our boots-on-the-ground expert from Black5.net. We'll be talking with him a little bit about the vets that have just been elected to the United States Congress. Alan West is going to feature prominently in this program. He is one of the truly leading lights in the new Congress that will be coming to office in January, elected from the state of Florida. We'll be talking about him more with probably several of our guests before this is over. But also, we'll be talking about the unraveling situation in Iraq for both Christians and others who have aspired to, and with our help, been led to believe they would achieve a measure of freedom and security in a very dangerous part of the world. So all of that's coming up. But first, I'll give you my first-hand experience and impressions about this new Congress, elected in such an extraordinary vote yesterday. First, let's start with the people. You know, I've often said people are policy. We have coming to power in both the House of Representatives in a very formal way and in a practical way, I think, in the Senate, a cadre of national security-minded individuals who understand intuitively the importance of peace through strength. In fact, I will give you some citations from a national security scorecard that the Center for Security Policy produced last month that assesses the appreciation and the performance of leading members of the Congress. In the previous session, the one that's now coming to an end, in the minority and in the majority in the new House. Starting with, of course, John Boehner, the incoming Speaker of the House, 100% on our national security scorecard. Eric Cantor, the likely new majority leader in the House, 100% on the Center for Security Policy scorecard. Ditto, Mike Pence. He's been the number three man in the House to date. We'll see what he winds up doing in the new Congress. Thad McCotter, the number four Republican, a frequent guest here at Secure Freedom Radio. Trent Franks of Arizona, a senior member of the Armed Services and Judiciary Committee. Steve King, the leader of the Republican Study Committee. Mike Rogers is top member of the Intelligence Committee. These are folks you hear periodically here at Secure Freedom Radio, and they're all 100 percenters on our Secure Freedom Radio sponsors scorecard, the National Security Scorecard of the Center for Security Policy. Michelle Bachmann would have been 100 percenter, but for missing a vote. She is going to be, I'm quite confident, a very prominent figure in this new Congress, having been handsomely reelected in Minnesota. And then there's Alan West, as I mentioned. We've not seen his voting record yet, of course, but his record of distinguished service in the United States Armed Forces and the courage with which he spoke to the most important national security and other issues, but particularly the national security issues that confront our country. Mark him, you can take it to the bank, folks. Mark him as a man who will truly become a driving force on these issues in the new Congress, 112th Congress. So Alan West from Florida is a man to watch. Now, it must be said that we've lost some people who were pretty darn good on national security in the course of this election. Ike Skelton, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, will no longer be serving in the House. Gene Taylor, Chet Edwards, pretty reasonable Democrats, will no longer be serving either. They will be replaced by people who will be, I think, quite formidable Republicans, but it is regrettable to my way of thinking that we are going to see the Democratic Party lose the relatively few folks who understood and generally voted in support of a strong national security. How about over in the Senate? We've got Senator John Kyle, of course, Mitch McConnell, the number two and number one Republicans, both 100 percenters. Jim DeMint, indisputably a prominent figure, we'll be seeing a lot of in the new Congress, 100%. John McCain, the ranking member in the important Senate Armed Services Committee, 100%er on the National Security Scorecard. Two new members of the Senate who I think show great promise. John Bozeman, 100%er coming over from the House of Representatives, representing Arkansas. And Marco Rubio, a man who we'll definitely be watching closely, from Florida, who's campaigned explicitly on the platform of American exceptionalism. And I think those are going to be enormously important figures in this new session. Let's talk quickly about substance. I think it's clear that there will be no new START treaty in the next session of Congress. Question is, will they try to jam it through the lame duck session for that reason? I think they won't make it. I hope they won't. Gitmo will not be closed. American sovereignty will be protected against treaties that would undermine our sovereignty, treaties that ostensibly have to do with children and women, the law of the sea. I think these treaties will be in abeyance for the time being, thank God. There will be clearly support for our troops in the new Congress. In Afghanistan and Iraq, I think, especially if General Petraeus, our commander on the ground in Afghanistan, makes clear that the kind of deadline the president has imposed, the kind of withdrawals of forces that he's contemplated, will undermine our position there. Defense budget cuts, we'll be talking a moment about that with Peter Schweitzer. I hope that this Congress will have the good sense to realize that that's not advisable. Support for Israel will surely go up. I think opposition to the unilateral Palestinian state the president has in mind affirming here shortly is something that Congress won't want any part of. Missile defense will be supported. I'm hoping we'll see investigations of the Sharia penetration of our government. And notably, in Oklahoma, a state resolution saying that Sharia won't apply there was passed overwhelmingly, 70-29%. So watch this space, folks. We'll be covering it all here at Secure Freedom Radio, both at the federal level and at the state level, as people stand up for our national security, which is what, of course, we need them to do, what we expect them to do, what they are duty-bound to do. Next up, Peter Schweitzer will be getting into this question of the defense budget with him and so much more. Straight ahead.
Do you want the big picture on national security and foreign policy? Find out what Ronald Reagan meant by peace through strength at SecureFreedomRadio.org. You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Mmm, that smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave.
Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... Why don't you...
You okay?
Oh.
Honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. We are proud to have joined the superb, intelligent talk lineup at WRC 1260 AM. Join us every weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. for your personal, daily, national security brief by the very best in the business. That's Secure Freedom Radio, now from 9 to 10 weeknights at WRC 1260 AM. Far and away, the most intelligent talk in Washington, D.C.
Her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back with Secure Freedom Radio and our friend and colleague, Peter Schweitzer, the editor-in-chief, grand poobah of the single most important new web portal, in my estimation, namely BigPeace.com. It is one-stop shopping on national security, and Peter does an absolutely superb job of herding a lot of cats, including mine, and others at the Center for Security Policy. And Peter, it's always a treat to be able to visit with you here at Secure Freedom Radio, as well as to collaborate with you on so many other scores. And thank you for all that you're doing with Big Peace and in your various writings, and for joining us periodically here at Secure Freedom Radio.
It's wonderful to be on with you, Frank, this day, the morning after the election, and enjoying the celebration and also rolling up the sleeves for the work that still needs to be done.
Indeed, and it is a day for celebration. I was speaking before you joined us to the audience about some of my take on it, but I'd love to get yours in particular on one of the questions that I think we may not know the answer to, but I'd certainly like to get your assessment. Will a class of new members of the House in particular, and some members of the Senate, who've come to office on a platform basically of cutting government spending wind up taking the cleaver to national security spending? Peter Schweitzer.
Well, I think that certainly is a possibility, and I have very real concerns about that. Part of the problem is I think that we who believe in a strong defense need to be absolutely clear about why we favor the defense budget that we think is necessary. And that's not to say that there isn't waste and that there aren't problems as there are with any government program. But the reality is this. The reason that we favor a large defense to protect us is because, number one, it's for the safety of the country. Number two, because it is a constitutional requirement. This is what the Constitution says the purpose of the government is, and that is to protect people. And I think the mistake that we've made as conservatives in sort of muddying the issue is by, trying to argue that, governments, that military spending is different from other government spending, that, it stimulates the economy where other spending doesn't. And I just think if we get into that kind of an argument, we've basically given the store away.
Peter, so how would you recast the argument so as to make it clear that it's more than just a jobs program?
Yeah, well, exactly. I think, number one, that it is to protect our country and to maintain the stability of our country. And by that, I mean we have foreign enemies, threats, but we also have domestic threats. I mean, I just saw in the report today that some individuals were arrested in San Diego for potentially ties to terrorist groups in Somalia. We have reports all the time of Americans that are involved in attempted terrorist attacks in the United States. So this is a very real problem. And it's not a jobs program. The defense program is there to make sure that our country continues to function. And I say that by simply looking back at September 11th. Remember what happened on that day. Not only were there thousands upon thousands of people that died, but it threw our economy into a tailspin. It's the kind of a situation where this is not just about some far-off national security threat. This goes to the core of the country. And all I'm suggesting is, let's not argue that, this will stimulate the economy. Let's not be, as I call them, or someone else has called them, military Keynesians. Let's just be straight up and say, this is a constitutional requirement. We need to do it. And it is for the safety and protection of our country. That's the reason that we favor the defense spending that we do.
Yeah. We're talking with Peter Schweitzer, who is a visiting fellow at the wonderful Hoover Institution in California. He is the editor-in-chief of BigPiece.com, and he is the author of numerous absolutely superb books, in particular two about President Reagan and his understanding of the point you've just made, Peter Schweitzer, about the vital responsibility of the United States federal government to provide for the common defense. In your books, Reagan's War, the epic story of his 40-year struggle and final triumph over communism, and personal favorite of mine, Victory, the Reagan administration's secret strategy that hastened the collapse of the Soviet Union. You very clearly chronicled the importance that President Reagan attached to a strong national defense and the steps that he had to take to counteract years of preceding presidents allowing that vital role of government, that vital capability to really atrophy. And I wonder to what extent you see in this Congress a recognition that a similar kind of recommitment, rededication is in order, and that we'll see a kind of sea change taking place, not just electorally, but in terms of substance, in this particular portfolio.
Well, that's a great point. I think there's some promising signs there. We've got a lot of good conservatives coming back. We've got new conservatives, I would say Reagan conservatives, who favor a Reaganite foreign policy that have been elected. Colonel Alan West won in Florida, congressman, yep. And is, I think, going to be terrific. A former lieutenant colonel in the Army, very, very proud of his service, understands the strategic threats around us. You also had in Florida Florida, Congressman Alan Boyd lost to Steve Sutherland. First time a Republican has carried that district since 1866.
Wow.
That's Reconstruction. Steve Sutherland also favors a Reaganite foreign policy. So I think there are grounds for optimism there. And I think we have to look at, the military spending and military strategy in the context of protecting our country, but also to remind ourselves, and this is what the Reagan experience shows us, that a little bit of a greater investment now can reap long-term rewards. You know, a lot of people looked at the Cold War, Frank, and said, oh, we had this peace dividends. And I think, we went a little bit too far there. But the point is we were able to take our foot off of the accelerator in terms of the defense budget somewhat because we won the Cold War. And we won the Cold War because in the 1980s, President Reagan made the kind of investments that we needed to make to defeat our enemies. So we have to have that mindset today, a mindset of defeating our enemies, not coexisting with them. And we need to have that strategy not just because it is for the safety of our country, but because in the long term, it will actually help us fiscally, because we won't be in this sort of permanent state of constantly having to have massive defense budgets because the enemies are omnipresent. So there are a lot of grounds for optimism, and I think we need to make short-term investments and reap long-term rewards.
Well, very well said, and I hope that your influence with some of these members of Congress and senators will be translating those kinds of historical understandings and visionary judgments into reality. Peter, we're almost out of time. I did want to touch on one other thing you posted yesterday at bigpeace.com, which was so stunning. A ballot measure in one of the districts in Massachusetts. Tell us very quickly about that and what it sort of exemplifies in terms of a certain attitude, at least among some people in the United States, and where this new Congress may come down on this kind of question.
Well, this is a tip that we kindly got from you, Frank, which we're very appreciative for. But basically, a ballot, something that was put on the ballot, a policy question number four, which said, would you favor essentially granting our foreign policy and giving control of our foreign policy to an international body like the UN? I mean, it's an amazing question to ask. And apparently, based on the tip that we received, this was not even something that was approved to be on the ballot. But it shows the mindset, I think, not just in Massachusetts, but elsewhere, this sense that, we can't be trusted, America can't be trusted to do the right thing in foreign affairs, and we need to resist that vigorously. And I'm confident, that the U.S. Congress, organizations like the Center for Security Policy, other groups will stand firm and stand fast on that issue, because the notion that Americans can't be trusted to make the right choice in foreign policy is atrocious and ridiculous. And I would compare American foreign policy to the record of the United Nations any day.
Yeah.
And I think we know who would win in terms of advancing freedom and advancing the cause of peace.
Yeah, Peter Schweitzer, extraordinarily well said, as always. Thank you for these thoughts on so many issues that we will be following closely, both at bigpeace.com, which you do such a superb job of editing, and here at Secure Freedom Radio. Thank you for letting us feature segments from Secure Freedom Radio on bigpeace.com and for all the other great work you've done. We're going to come back to you in the very near future to talk about quantitative easing. We ran out of time on that today, but you're an expert in that subject as well, and we need to cover it, so we'll be talking with you soon. Next up, we'll be talking with Roger Robinson about the rise of communist China. Straight ahead.
Download podcasts, hear clips, read the bios of the amazing people Frank Gaffney interviews, all at securefreedomradio.org. Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Steven and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Steven a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. We are proud to have joined the superb, intelligent talk lineup at WRC 1260 AM. Join us every weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. for your personal, daily, national security brief by the very best in the business. That's Secure Freedom Radio, now from 9 to 10 weeknights at WRC 1260 AM. Far and away, the most intelligent talk in Washington, D.C.
Charles the Carpet King will carpet your entire house for only $39. That's right, your entire house for only $39. But don't expect Charles the Carpet King to do it himself, because Charles the Carpet King passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Charles didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In 1966 in Anchorage, Alaska, a talented child was born. He would go on to be one out of only 11 Alaskans to make it to the major leagues. The odds of him striking out more than 3,000 hitters? 1 in 33 million. The odds of this pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Autism is getting closer to home. From 1 in 5,000 only 20 years ago, today 1 in 110 children are diagnosed. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
We're back, and Roger Robinson, the former chairman of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Commission, is our guest for this segment. Roger is an old friend and very valued colleague. He formerly served President Reagan as the Senior Director for International Economic Affairs at the National Security Council. He was instrumental in that capacity in achieving the strategic objective that President Reagan had laid out of destroying the Soviet Union, which is a subject of the book Victory that I was just talking about with Peter Schweitzer in the previous segment. Roger Robinson, welcome back. It's great to have you with us at Secure Freedom Radio.
Thank you, Frank.
You have, in your several capacities, followed for a long time and I think been quite perspicacious, if I can say that word, about the likelihood that communist China was going to become an increasing problem for us, both in the region in which it exists and more broadly. I'd like to get your sense of how that's eventuating, how we're seeing that threat metastasize, really. And I'd like to do it, if I may, Roger Robinson, by focusing in on a specific sort of case study, namely this business about rare earth minerals. What the Chinese are doing, Hillary Clinton assures us that we don't need to worry about it, but should we be worried about what Communist China is doing, and is this in fact emblematic of what we're going to see a lot more of as they throw their weight around in the future?
Well, Frank, I'd begin by saying so much for the peaceful rise of China.
Yeah.
And the rare earth mineral embargo that that Beijing instituted against Japan and to a much lesser extent Europe and the United States is very similar to the notion that once upon a time the Soviet Union and Russia were never perceived as willing to use natural gas as a lever or a weapon of economic warfare against the West, something that obviously has been disproved many times over. For the Chinese, they have a 97% or so monopoly on rare earth minerals, and maybe Hillary Clinton's not particularly concerned, but I can tell you who is, the leadership in Japan. This was a thrust at the heart of industrial Japan. They are a very large consumer of rare earth minerals. They are practically all from China. They use the Senkaku dispute, which you alluded to earlier, as an excuse to pull the trigger on trying to remind Japan in the most heavy-handed of ways that they could bring that economy, if not to a screeching halt, they could do material damage. Japan only has about a six-month stockpile of rare earth minerals, and this was a very profound and big decision. I think, fortunately, a big mistake that China took part in here. I think that, however, it is of a piece with the broader phenomena you're talking about, that is a more belligerent China, one that is now increasingly in a leadership struggle between the military and civilian leadership of that country. I'm persuaded that the rare earth mineral event was largely dictated by the People's Liberation Army as part of the sanctions, if you will, for Japan's temerity to think that they should be holding on to their own territory there in the Senkakus.
Yeah.
So we have a dramatic shift in the notion of a peaceful rise of China, as I said initially, and this is but one symptom. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. We're talking with Roger Robinson, who has as his day job today, I think, the presidency of the RWR Advisory Group, but in the past has been a leading figure in providing Congress in particular, but the country more generally, with a second opinion on what Communist China is up to as chairman and as ranking member of the blue ribbon, congressionally empaneled U.S.-China Economic and Security Commission. And Roger Robinson, we thank you for your service in those capacities. I'd also like you to address the dependency that the United States has. You mentioned how vulnerable Japan is, not simply as a consumer, as I think the word you used, but as a, it's vital to Japan's capacity to produce and export the finished products upon which its economy ultimately relies, that it has access to these kinds of materials, these rare earth minerals. But, Roger Robinson, what are the implications for the United States of the kind of dependency that we have on China's export of rare earth minerals, and for that matter, other electronic gear and the like?
Well, Frank, I'm glad you raised our own situation. It's supposedly being looked into now, belatedly, now that China has pulled the trigger and shown their true colors on the willingness to strike at our allies and ourselves as soon as they're inconvenienced on a political military matter such as the Senkakus or the East China Sea. We ourselves have a substantial dependency on rare earth minerals. We abandoned the U.S. mines. Rare earth minerals can be found in the United States. We had operating mines, but of course they are somewhat costly to produce. There is a radioactivity that sometimes can be involved in the mining of such minerals. And naturally, China which doesn't have anywhere near the same safeguards for their miners or the production facilities more broadly, took that business and are trying to, of course, keep it and even expand the 97% monopoly they have. The United States, in my opinion, allowed itself to become inordinately dependent on Chinese rare earth minerals, and it goes to the issue that we have been vulnerable for a long time to the broader case of foreign suppliers, some from malevolent regimes around the world, or ones that are at minimum highly competitive with us, like the Chinese, that are willing to, again, interrupt that vital supply chain to our Defense Department and other vital areas of our government and industry at the drop of a hat if they feel the need to do so. So we have not adequately protected ourselves on the supply chain problem.
Yeah, and Roger Robinson, what I think you've been, again, warning about for some time is that that could prove to be not only, well, inconvenient if at a moment when our military needs to have a certain kind of kit or capability, it is told that it can't get access to it from these foreign suppliers. But beyond that, what might happen if we have enemies of this country using the products that they sell us to put Trojan horses or to put computer codes, worms, malware, whatever you want to call it, into these systems that could actually undermine us? And in that regard, I'd like to get your sense of this idea of having not just, I guess, our military to some extent, but our civilian society and economy depending upon Huawei, a Chinese company that you've been following closely for a long time. What concerns should we have about that idea?
Well, clearly, this is going to be a 21st century national security challenge. The idea of worms, the idea of manipulated technologies, that for example, in a telecommunications context that you just mentioned with Huawei, can provide listening, intercept, and other capabilities. If there's not extreme care taken, you can be sure that the Chinese have this in mind. Huawei is a PLA company. They are working mightily to distance themselves from that association. They have brought on board some of America's most prestigious former officials in an effort to pull together consulting firms and others to seemingly sanitize Huawei's exports to, for example, Sprint, which has been given, and Nextel, which has been given a lot of press since August of this year. And
Because members of Congress have been expressing real concern about this, as I understand it.
Well, not to mention the National Security Agency. So this is not a figment of our imagination. This is not just suspicion or undue paranoia. This is a matter of trying to thwart adversaries of the United States from being equipped to step in and activate technologies, worms, whatever it may be, that list that you provided in your statement, that could undermine the integrity of our technology both on the military side and in the civilian economy. And telecommunications is an excellent example of that kind of problem. Can you imagine the Chinese PLA building cell towers in the United States? Gee, I wonder if we might have a problem with that down the pike. These matters are being adjudicated, but they are merely symptomatic of a much bigger national security problem for this country. We have not really sought to identify who are we doing business with, who are they really, who are their subsidiaries, who are their affiliates, who is their true ownership, oftentimes disguised. We haven't done our homework, Frank. That research is vital.
Yeah, and what you've just been sort of enumerating there, the answer in so many of those cases is the PLA, as you put it, the People's Liberation Army. And you're absolutely right, Roger Robinson, of course, to be calling attention to their rising influence in China and how that's being manifested in the kind of behavior that is so worrying to our Japanese allies, to our friends in Taiwan, in South Korea and elsewhere. And it should be worrying to us as well. Here's hoping that the new Congress of the United States will take these matters more seriously than it has its predecessor. And Roger Robinson, I know that we can count on you both here at Secure Freedom Radio and in your testimony on the Hill and through your writings to inform and encourage exactly that kind of behavior. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend. Roger Robinson of RWR Advisory Group. Next up, Jim Henson joins us to give us the boots on the ground view of the election returns, what it means for our national security, for our troops. Straight ahead.
Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org. Ever vigilant, Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
That smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave.
Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you and dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while.
How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you... why don't you...
You okay?
Oh.
Honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. But it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. We are proud to have joined the superb, intelligent talk lineup at WRC 1260 AM. Join us every weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. for your personal daily national security brief by the very best in the business. That's Secure Freedom Radio, now from 9 to 10 weeknights at WRC 1260 AM. Far and away, the most intelligent talk in Washington, D.C.
Hey, Charlie, what gives?
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Oh, unbelievable. What do they feed that guy?
Yeah, but they still lost.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when I was playing, what we tried to
you,
do with it...
You played on Biltmore Street.
Hey, come on. I play in the service.
Oh, right.
Anyhow, what I'm trying to say is the kid, he
should have fallen down. Hey, you okay? Stop joking around. Oh, no. Someone call 911!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, and many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk, but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back with Jim Henson of Black5.net and BigPeace.com, and also, of course, Secure Freedom Radio, where we get to visit with him each week to get the boots on the ground perspective on so many of these issues that we're talking about. And Jim, I'd like in particular to get your flavor of how our troops might be taking the events of the past 24 hours, the elections of 2010.
You know, Frank, I think one of the, I guess it has to be interesting and I think a little disturbing was the complete lack of national security as an issue in any races anywhere. I did not hear it discussed almost at all. You know, and I think fatigue, you know, I think among the electorate is probably a part of that. And the fact that the economy is so bad, you know, and there was so much to go on that side. But this was a really a national security free election.
And I think that really kept, you know, sentiment among the troops as far as how it affects them less than it normally would be. You know, I mean, there's just, it wasn't a concern. Now, I think overall, the military tends to be more conservative. So I think the idea that we now have replaced tax and spend Democrats with, you know, don't tax, don't spend Republicans, should be good. But again, pressure on the defense budget and other things, could make it interesting. So I don't know that there's really a military take on it. I think overall, though, it was a plus for the bulk of the folks in the military.
Yeah. Jim, do you have any sense, there was some talk, and I think there always is concern, but I think this was heightened in this particular environment, that the troops' votes may not have been counted, that there may have been issues in terms of the timely delivery of absentee ballots and all that. Do you have any read on that, and was that of concern to the troops?
You know, I think if you wanted the one issue that was a concern, it's exactly that, and I think it's almost certain that there are a number of places where the deadlines for return of ballots from absentee ballots in theater are going to pass long before these guys could have ever gotten it back. And that's, you know, just due to the fact that the states have ended up scheduling their primaries so late in the season that by the time they know who the candidates are and get the ballots printed, they don't have enough time to get them to the guys in the field. Well, that's their problem.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to disenfranchise military voters, they're going to hear about it. And I'll tell you right now, I have heard from folks in the House Armed Services Committee that will be a subject of hearings and that they expect solutions to that guarantee that the troops will not be disenfranchised for serving in battle.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that really is not only drilled down on in this particular Congress, but that corrective action is taken, because it's just scandalous that these guys who are putting their lives on the line, guys and women, of course, that are putting their lives on the line for us are disenfranchised in any way. Jim, one of the guys that we're talking again with Jim Hansen of Black5.net and BigPeace.com. One of the guys who did make the cut, and I was talking about him a bit earlier in the program, both in my monologue and with our friend Peter Schweitzer, was Alan West. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West now will be representing the 22nd District of Florida, having taken the seat away from Ron Klein. You've, I think, interacted a bit with Alan. What's your take on him as sort of an example of the kinds of infusion of talent that we're likely to see in this Congress coming from the veteran community?
What an amazing personality and a patriot, and going to be a wonderful congressman is Alan West. I think, you know, you could have just about the rest of the election. Yeah, it would have been nice if Harry Reid went down, but he'll be fun to have around, you know, as an evil Democrat. But to have Alan West on our team in Congress as an advocate for strong defense, for fiscal restraint, for everything that most of us believe is vital for our country to succeed is brilliant. He's an outstanding human being, and I can't wait. I mean, he's a brilliant orator. You know, to the extent that people used to love to praise Barry O and his mellifluous tones, well, he was reading off a prompter. Alan West can speak English without having to read it off somebody else's stuff, and he does so in very inspiring ways. So I think you will see a lot of him, because he is going to be one of the voices that propels a conservative agenda back to where it belongs.
Yeah, I can't tell you how excited I am about him. I think he really is a born leader, and the opportunity for him to serve, even if he's at the relatively low end of the totem pole in the United States Congress, he's going to be, I think, a guy to watch, and we'll all be certainly watching him here with your help, Jim Hansen. Quickly, let me turn to Iraq. Speaking of, you know, the boots on the ground, I know that at Big Peace and elsewhere, you have been expressing some concern about how things are going there. Most recently, in a piece that you posted about the assault on Christians in that community, are these symptoms of an unraveling, Jim Hansen, of our accomplishments in Iraq, with implications for both the people involved and for us?
I think it was inevitable that there was going to be spasms of violence like this. The question is, do they become the norm and increase, or do we squash them in, you know, and really hopefully help the, you know, Iraqis squash them before they can grow to a systemic or civil war type situation as we had, you know, back prior to the surge. I think the fact that we have shown no inclination to renegotiate with the Iraqis a longer term agreement or presence there is exacerbating this. You know, the idea that we are actually going to all be gone, not a U.S. troop left next year is ridiculous. But we're not showing anybody publicly that we're renegotiating an agreement that would allow us to stay.
Yeah, this
that
is
obviously is going to give them, you know, reason to attack.
Yeah, and I think that's the big, you know, issue is as they see that vacuum of power with the Iranians anxious to fill it, their proxies in country, the Al Qaeda guys, and you know, just the inherent prospect for sectarian violence. Whether this thing doesn't just begin to rocket out of control, I pray that won't be the case. Needless to say, with all that we've seen sacrificed by you and others, your colleagues, to try to have this be a place where freedom and a measure of security is possible in a very dangerous part of the world. Jim Hansen, you've brought your poison pen to bear on another subject that we follow here closely at Secure Freedom Radio in a post at bigpeace.com about the United Nations that was, I think, both well-deserved and extremely well said. Give us a quick appreciation of what you think is going on in the United Nations and what it means for us.
I think the question is whether the United Nations, in its role as peacekeepers or any of the other national security focus or international security focus roles they take, is a force for good or not. And I question, you know, I question at the most base level whether they are actually a net good or not, because of the fact that anything they are involved with is hideously corrupt. I mean, it's corrupt in ways, you know, that the mafia would be proud to say they could accomplish. And it also has been a source of whenever the UN deploys to an area, sexual assault, rape, child molestation, all kinds of horrible pathologies go directly along with them. And I think it's a disgrace. You know, and the idea that we send peacekeeping forces and then, you know, destroy the women and children of an area by their very presence says that the UN is not providing anything near the function it is. And we should question, you know, our giving imprimatur, you know, to an organization that allows those things to be part and parcel of what it does.
Yeah. To be fair, of course, there are things that the UN does that you'd want somebody to do in terms of humanitarian relief and so on. But you're so right about this kind of behavior, to say nothing of the virulent anti-Israel and even anti-American rhetoric and sort of resolutions and agenda of the UN and its subordinate institutions. And I think what you've described here, Jim Hansen, of Black5.net and Warrior Legacy Foundation, and of course BigPeace.com and Secure Freedom Radio, is an agenda that we would like to see the United States Congress under new management take up, together with looking hard at issues like the penetration of Sharia, another increasingly UN-associated agenda under the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and so much more, Jim. And thank you for joining us each week to talk a little bit about the sorts of things we all ought to be focusing on. And with your help, we'll make sure that Congress does, under, as I say, the happy new management. Jim Hansen, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk with you again in a week. And thanks to all of you for joining us as well. And I hope you'll do so again tomorrow, same time, same station, for more of what you absolutely need to know to secure your freedom and that of those you love. Until then, for all of us here at Secure Freedom Radio, this is Frank Afton. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.